This sermon is entitled Caretakers of a Good World. Caretakers of a Good World. Our scripture this morning is from Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 through 31. And I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Updated Edition. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth, of every kind." And so it was. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humans in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humans in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I've given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. The word of God for God's gracious people and for the good world that God has created. You may be seated. Let us pray. Creator God, thou who hast called all things good and brought all things good to pass, we give you thanks for your presence here among us. God, I ask that this, your holy word, would bless us today, would open our understanding to your will for our lives, would lead us in that path, and that you would journey with us even this morning, so that we may be motivated by your word, so that we may receive your word to the good of our lives, and so that we may leave this place being good caretakers of the good world that you created. This I pray in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, I want to use a kind of womanist eco-theology for this sermon. Now, what do I mean by womanist eco-theology?
Teach us.
I'm going to try. So, womanist, for those who have never heard the term womanist before, to be a womanist, Alice Walker coined the term womanism, womanist, and she has a four-part definition in her book that's entitled In Search of Our Mother's Garden. And one of the portions of the four-part definition is that to be a womanist is to be a feminist of color, a black feminist, or a feminist of color. She also, in that definition, talks about how important community and the earth is to womanists. And as black women, black feminists, it is important for us to carry on the sensibility about the goodness of the world. And not to be in seclusion, not to be separatists. Womanists are not separatists, but we see ourselves working in community for the benefit of all the world. And the world is important. And this is part of our sermon series for the next several weeks. We're going to talk about ecology. Womanist eco-theology deals with what it means to be faith believers in a world that we did not create, but in a world where it is important for us to care for. In our mother's gardens, in our gardens, in the ocean ways, in the land, the soil, the air above us. It's important for us to care for the world. We understand, as the scripture suggested, that the first good thing, the first really good thing that God created was our ecosystem. Now, so many people think that the first thing that God thought was good was human beings. No. The first thing that God called good was the ecosystem, were the animals, the plants, water, sentient and non-sentient life. All of these are components that we as human beings benefit from, and these are components that not only do we benefit from, but they benefit from one another. There is a kind of symbiotic relationship, a mutual relationship in the ecosystem that God created. And God looked at this ecosystem that God had created and said, that's some good stuff that I did. That's really good, you know. And this ecosystem within the earth itself provides us with food, and it provides us with water. So this whole system that God created is beneficial for human beings, but also, not only is the system beneficial for human beings, but the system benefits from human beings when we do the right thing, when we work with the good that God has given us. When we're in this kind of good mutual relationship, the earth, the animals, the plants, and human beings. So, not only am I wanting to share with you that God saw the ecosystem as good, but it's important for us to remember that it's our responsibility to protect the ecosystems that have been entrusted to our care. Now, our care, you would have heard in the scripture, even another translation of that scripture, you would have heard that God, when God entrusted the care of the ecosystem to human beings, God said, you know, these things I have put here for you to have dominion over, or for you to have rule over. And so, unfortunately, we have misinterpreted and misappropriated what I think the sensibility of that text is, and I'll say more about that later on. So after God creates the creatures and the plants of the world, the writer in verse 26 tells us that God first intended that human beings be in what? A caring relationship to the ecosystem. That was God's first intent for human beings, to be in a caring relationship with the ecosystem. God wanted human beings to have dominion over what God had created. Now, as a researcher, I was really interested, really, really interested in the etymology of the word dominion, which an etymology is a big word that means, how did that word come to be? How do we get to the point where I'm standing here today and I read a text that's where it says that God wanted human beings to have dominion over the world that God had created? And so I began to go back to the translation of the Hebrew word that's been translated out for us in English to be dominion, and in some cases rule. And the Hebrew word is radah. This Hebrew word has a root component, which means to tread down. Now, that didn't sound any better to me. That didn't sound any better to me that God has said, now, I'm giving you this world to have dominion over, to tread down, or to subjugate. That's another translation of this root word. And so I had to sit with it for a while. I mean, we do enough treading down of the earth as it is right now, don't we? We consider ourselves subject to be able to subjugate the earth. Right now, we do enough of this bad stuff. And so what I needed to do and what I felt would be more helpful is not necessarily the etymology of the word, but to begin to think about what was the intent of the writer. What is it that the writer wanted us to think about as the writers offered to us this creation story? And oh, by the way, there are two creation stories. There's creation story in Genesis 1. There's a creation story in Genesis 2. Either way, if you go with a literal interpretation, the earth is in a bad way when it's placed in the hands of human beings. If in fact we go by literal interpretation. But let me shift and let me use another hermeneutics. Let me use another kind of interpretation that I believe is more helpful. I believe that this myth of how the world came to be can be helpful, but it can also be used as a cautionary tale for us. A cautionary tale. Our interpretation of our role as subjugating the earth actually pits humanity against the very ecosystem that helps us to live as human beings. If we take this kind of literal interpretation, but kind of wrapped up in this text is this sensibility that God called this creation good. Now, why would you tear apart and why would you hurt the created world that the divine one has given you to inherit? So let us not think about dominion as treading down. Let us not think about dominion as subjugation. But I think it's much more productive for human beings to think about this ecosystem that we've created as something good that has been given to us to take care of. And I often speak about being caretakers of the world. God gave the world to us to be caretakers of the world. So instead, I want you to see that God creates this very beautiful and this very profound good world. And then God does this. God entrusts us. My God, why would God entrust human beings? There was something about these human beings in this myth story that God felt God could take all this great stuff that God had created and entrust it into the hands of these human beings to care for. Now, you know, we're in the 21st century now, so it's rather easy for me to say, I don't know if I would have done that, God. I don't know, you know, these centuries of looking at how humanity has treated the earth. Why would an all-knowing and all-loving God place the care of this world into the hands of humanity? You all know how humanity has treated the world. Mm-hmm. War, weapons of mass destruction, weapons that dig into the soil and pollute the soil. We think we're really smart and we've created plastics, and the plastics have harmed the animals, especially in the ocean. We put pollutants into our soil. We're harming the zone up above us, such that we're wondering if we will be able to even have sufficient air to breathe in the times ahead. This is why, again, I want us to think about what God gave us as our responsibility to care for, okay? And God turns the care of this world over to humanity, not just for our benefit. Now, that's the second thing I want to say. God didn't give us suggest to us that we're caretakers for our benefit, and yet we can be so selfish when we think about the world. We think about the ecosystem. It's for us. You know, the food is for us. The air is for us. The soil is for us. The mountains, the daylight, and the night. This is all about us. Very selfish. Instead, I think when God first proclaimed the world as good, and when God said, look, take care of this world, God also, as you see, made provisions for the world to care for us, but God is also saying to us, look, this is not all about you. I want you to take care of this world. It's not all about your consumption, because human consumption is doing a horrible work to the rest of the human beings. But really, what God first proclaimed as good was an ecological system that would benefit humanity, an ecological system that would benefit the animals of the world, an ecological system that would benefit the plant life. And God is entrusting this and desires that what God entrusted to us would be cared for even until the end of the world. I want to say finally this morning, I believe that we must take seriously the fact that the first account of God's work in the world is not the creation of humanity, but the creation of all things that will help humanity survive and thrive. So we can't get away from that. God has given us what we need for generations to come if we do not destroy this gift. And I want you to stick a pin in your head with the word gift, or kind of say, okay, this is important. Don't stick a pin in your head. But I want you to stick a pin in that word gift. Okay? I want you to stick a pin in that word. God has given us a gift. Okay? And if we think about this world as a gift, I think that would really help us. Now, I would usually end my sermon by giving examples of the kind of work that we could do. But today, rather than end my sermon giving and suggesting the kind of work that we can do for this ecosystem, for the world that we've inherited, I thought it would be pretty cool if for just a few minutes, everyone here and even those of you that are online, if we could share some ideas in this space together. What are some of the things that we can do to care for this good creation? What are some of the things? That's the question. What are some of the things that we can do, we human beings, who've been asked to be caretakers of this world? What are some of the things that we can do to help take care of the world that we've inherited? Let me step back for a few minutes and invite you to speak aloud some ideas about what we can do to be good caretakers of the world. And those of you that are online, please key into the chat area some of your thoughts and let us hear from one another and learn from one another. So what can we do to care for the earth?
Like a water filter, instead of just buying bottles of water, you can filter your water from the sink and use a pitcher to have water instead of buying bottled water.
So I'm going to repeat that so everybody can hear. LV has said, instead of buying bottled water, we can use a filter so that we can pour from the tap and just preserve our world by reducing the use of plastics. Someone else, what are some of the things that we can do to keep this world? Greg?
Buying less processed foods,
which really harm our body, even as the process itself or the way that food is processed harms the earth. Buying less processed foods. How do we do that? We look at the ingredients, eh? We think about what it is that we are digesting. Someone else.
Shop locally.
Yeah, that's good.
Very good. Because the amount of transportation it takes to get some of this food to us, it's bad. It's, what do they call that? A carbon footprint, huh? We reduce our carbon footprints by shopping locally. Someone else.
Online, Marlon says we can set aside areas for natural growth instead of lawn grasses.
So you can set aside areas for natural growth instead of lawn grasses. That's a hard one for me because I love a beautiful lawn, but I can set aside as a kind of, you know, I as a kind of way of kind of maybe equaling the harm is setting up something in my yard that will care for the earth. Some beautiful plants, some plants maybe that the bees can feed off of, because we've been hearing about how bees are declining. So we can do some of that, even though I'm afraid of bees. Mm-hmm. Someone else, yes.
We could eat less meat.
Yes, eat less meat. Yes, that's true. And we could also, for those of us that are meat eaters, look at how that meat is grown. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. You know.
You can use a reusable shopping bag instead of taking plastic bags everywhere.
Yeah, I love to use reusable shopping bags rather than plastic. And I hope you all will do that too. Keep some shopping bags in your car so you can use them. Yes, Paige.
Be mindful of when you're making online purchases to either try to do a whole bunch at once rather than individual items, or select the fewer boxes, or do the delivery day, the weekly delivery day instead of the 2-day or whatever.
That's very good. So try to, for those of you that love to shop online, I'm probably stepping on a few toes here, try to combine your purchases so that there's less boxes that are used, and the plastics and the wrap and all of that stuff that's not good.
Hmm? And the driving and the gas.
And the driving and the gas, that is true. That is so true. All right.
Online, you have model earth-loving behaviors to both the young and the old.
Model earth-loving behaviors to the young and the old. That is so good, because it's never too late for those of us who are a little bit more mature to start taking care of the earth and to treat the earth better. Yes.
I think there's two things. Well, I grew up around the recycling era, so recycle, everyone needs to recycle. And then you can also watch things to get more information about how you can because I don't know all the ways in which industries sometimes impact the earth, but you can educate yourself so that you can become more learned about, even when I was growing up, Captain Planet, right? That was a TV show, but it really did teach me things. I'm so serious. It taught me how to think about the earth more. And so whether it be a cartoon or be a documentary, people can educate themselves around what they can be doing to take care of the earth. So.
Yeah, educate yourself on how to take care of the earth. Is it World Geographic?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Captain who?
Captain Planet.
for those of you who looked at Captain Planet, Brandon is saying that was a great educational show. Yes. That's a 90s thing. Okay. On inside the triangle,
mm-hmm.
Look at the number.
Yeah, I think 5 weeks did not be recycled in Chicago, but then it started being, so I don't know.
Oh, I learned something new today. Okay, this is research for us. So on these containers that have the triangle, mm-hmm. that tell us that this is an item that can be recycled, there's a number inside. And that number inside lets you know whether the recycling actually takes place locally or whether they send it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And it's better to have things in your home where they're doing local recycling. Is that what I'm getting from you? Because of the gas and...
Right, the lids for Starbucks used to not be recycled in our area, or when we lived in Riley Park, that was eight, 9 years ago. So I don't know, I think they were 5, and so you couldn't put them in the recycling.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
It's like plastics numbers 1 through 5 and 7 are accepted in Chicago.
So for those of you that live in the Chicago area, plastics that are numbered 1 through 5 and 7, Page, are recycled in the Chicago area. Keep this in mind when you're recycling. And do recycle. Do recycle. Anyone else? These are great ideas.
We can also support and advocate for policy, mm-hmm. that when production and manufacturing and capitalism is producing things, that they do it in a way that cares for the earth as well.
Get involved in public policy. Thank you. Yes.
And then going back to our sermon from last week, watching our water consumption as well, knowing how much water we're taking from the earth, because we're about to run out of our freshwater source and be left with only salt water. And the process for deionizing salt water is way more of a carbon footprint.
I love this. I love what you all are giving. So watch our water consumption. Try not to wash clothes. Use your washer just for two or three pieces of clothing, or use the it's a selection where it just runs on a very small amount of water. So those are great things. And when you're taking a shower, watch how much water you're using there. So watch your water consumption. All right. I don't see any other hands. Anything else online, Darren? Yes, I'm sorry, Ashley. Fast fashion?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they're like one clothes that you wear just like once, or you buy just once, and
they add to it. Oh my, I learned it. So, fast fashion. I don't know if you've all have heard that term before, but first time I heard it today. And these are items that we wear once or twice.
And those are made very cheaply. And they fall apart.
Oh, I love this. So don't buy cheaply made clothes. I mean, that's the gist of it, isn't it? Fast fashion is cheaply made clothes that are intentionally made cheap, okay? But in making them cheap, they have a short use. Short amount of time that you can use it. So, honey, for shoppers like me, you just bless me. I don't feel bad for spending a little bit of money for some quality stuff, because it's sustainable. So the shoes that I bought, I have some shoes that I bought in 2000. Now we go into fashion. I bought these shoes in 2001. I spent a pretty penny on these shoes. They're loafers, not the ones I'm wearing today. Ferragamos, I'll fess up. And it cost me a pretty penny in 2001, but guess what? What are we in? 2024, I wear them every year. So they're not fast fashion. I don't want to give those of you who are shopaholics an excuse to keep spending money in the store, but I'm just saying, if you're going to spend money, stay away from fast fashion. What's the word, y'all? Fast fashion. Stay away from it. So it's a community effort. Anything else here? You come to Urban Village Church, Hyde Park, you are going to learn. We're a learning community. Anyone else?
Make your name tag so that everyone can use it.
Thank you, Paige. Can I hold your name tag? Can I hold your name tag, please, Atticus? Thank you. Marcus, I'm sorry. So, name tags. Instead of using paper all the time, just use the same name tag over and over and over. Yes, it's plastic, but I think it's because we're using it over and over and over again, we're not wasting. And we should find some name tag holders that are recyclable. Anybody else?
Drive less.
Shop less. Get on public transportation when it's safe.
Get a bike.
If you know how to ride a bike without hurting yourself. So do all those things. All those things are good for the earth and the world. I think we have really come to a great place in our service today. The sermon is a sermon that you all have helped me to preach. So I appreciate us preaching together. And that's a beautiful thing.